Now, how about a verse like this, my friends? Don't you think it drops like lead on the hopes of serious Christians who have a struggle with addiction? Listen to it. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will surely live. I can hear a clunk as someone drops his Bible in despair as he reads that and says, Paul, for goodness sake, why don't you tell me how to stop being in debt to the flesh? You see, my friends, there are so many people who do not understand the message here. And over the years, I've known this experience. I've thought to myself, why does Paul simply say, put off the old nature, put on the new? What the heck? Put off, put on? Does he realize what kind of a struggle we're going through? Or is it that there wasn't addiction in those days, and people are different now? Listen, friends, I will never accept that. I will never accept that there is a great psychological divide between the people of the Bible and the people of modern days. What makes the scriptures real to me is the conviction that men in those days were just as ordinary as men and women are today. So what have we missed, for goodness sake? What have we missed? Now listen, when I look at commentaries and theological treatises on various parts of the book of Romans, I see men who are completely out of touch with what Paul is talking about. It's staggering to me. These men are educated men, academics, theologians with PhDs and Doctor of Divinity letters behind their names. These are men who surely should know better. But when you take a look at the commentaries and treatises, they are simply dealing with the academics of it, the exegesis of the text, with no reference to the psychological. They are dealing with the etymology of words. They're dealing with the historical background, the various interpretations out there already, and arguing with them. But they are not getting at the core of what is going on here. Now, you see, my friend, I emphasize to you that Romans 8, as Romans 5, 6, and 7 also, are good news. Romans 8 is an expression of the gospel. It is an expression of the good news. But not if it is interpreted in the way that is traditionally interpreted. For one senses in the traditional interpretation a veiled threat in these verses. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die, so you'll cop it. And also, the flesh is understood as anything that you indulge in your body. So if you have a habit, a sexual habit, for instance, if you have a drug habit that you're trying to overcome, or an alcohol habit, then that is perceived of as what it's talking about in regard to indulging in the flesh. And if you do that, you will die. Now look, my friend, in that interpretation is no help whatsoever, no understanding of what the verse is saying, no leading you and me into the proper understanding of the gospel. As a result, I bet your bottom dollar that most Christians with addictions quietly walk away from the church, or if they don't, they close their Bibles and sense that it has nothing to offer them. Or if they don't do that, they open their Bibles and use all of the law texts and the condemnation texts to try to control themselves. Or if they don't do that, they go to a psychologist instead. Well, have I ranted enough to make a point here that we're misunderstanding what it says? What Paul is saying is this: you don't owe the kingdom of Adam, which is as a life of the flesh, that is a life of living under constant guilt, constant shame, constant fear, constant condemnation. You don't owe the kingdom of Adam anything because Christ has transferred us from the kingdom of Adam to the kingdom of the second Adam, Christ. So you are not in debt to it. You do not have to believe all the things it tells you that if you do one more wrong, you are condemned, and you must overcome all wrong and all sin in order to be able to enter into life. And you'd better crush that human nature of yours, otherwise you're a dead man. All of this is not the context, at all, in which Paul is speaking. He's giving us good news here. Therefore, brothers, we don't owe, we're not in debt, you see. We do not owe, we are not in debt to the flesh, to live according to it. Remember, the flesh here is not simply what your body is in, the skin surrounding your body. It is not sensations of the body. The flesh, as Paul uses this, is talking about the kingdom of Adam in which sin and death reign. You say, okay, Colin, but then, all right, I get that. No, no, slow down. Maybe you don't get it. Because you're about to ask, aren't you, I get that, Colin, but what about my habits? That's why I think you're not getting it when you ask a question like that. Because the answer, the way we must approach our addictive struggles now is to see all of those addictive struggles in the kingdom of the Spirit, in the life of the Spirit. So, you see, it says, therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to live, not debtors to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. If I have an addiction in the flesh, my friend, in the kingdom of Adam, then every time I fail, I feel condemned. And I'm going to stay condemned for days until I can forget my failure, and then, because of a lack of memory, return to God. Or if I am tempted, I am going to feel condemned and ashamed and afraid that God has forsaken me. That's all the kingdom of Adam, you see. And if I am tempted or fail, I am going to identify with that temptation or failure and say, I'm an addict, I'm a drug addict, I'm an alcoholic, I'm a sex addict, I'm a foodaholic. All of these definitions because you are in the kingdom of Adam. But if you are in the kingdom of Christ, then you say, if you failed, Father, I failed. I forgive me. Thank you so much that I am already forgiven at the cross of Jesus Christ, and this failure is not counted against me. In fact, Father, this failure becomes an instrument by which I learn more about you. As I look back on that failure, dear Father, I see that I identified myself in the kingdom of Adam, and I identified myself, therefore, with the habit and the problem itself, a drug addict, an alcoholic. But Father, in Christ, I can say, and in the kingdom of Christ, in the new Adam, that is not me. The temptation I feel is not the true me anymore. I praise you, Father, for this revelation. And I thank you, Father, that the victory is already won. Now, maybe you're still defeated, but the victory is already won because sin, with its power to condemn you to death by the law, is finished. And so you can say, Father, instead of in the kingdom of Adam saying, oh God, please help me to overcome, please help me to fight this thing, please help me to have victory, you say, Father, I praise you that in the kingdom of Adam, in the second Adam, Jesus Christ, the power of this thing is already broken. Christ has already broken the power because the power of it is condemnation by the law, and the judgment of the law is death, and those have been overcome. As you talk to God in this way, my friend, you realize that you have a constantly open door to God, a dialogue with your Heavenly Father. Now, when you have a dialogue with God, When you have a conversation with God at all times, any times, without having to clean up the mess, you will see how the power of a sin slowly lessens. Because the power of a sin is not in the ingredients of sin itself, but in the power it has to separate you from the Father. When you know it has no power to separate you from the Father, then its own power begins to diminish. So then, you see, my friend, in the book of Romans, we have an incredibly brilliant spiritual psychology. But because of the misunderstanding of theologians about this, then they have compartmentalized theology from psychology. I challenge you to look at any commentary on the book of Romans, explore it, and see if they know anything, whoever the theologian, I don't care who he is, has any ability to translate the theology, the biblical wording and language of Paul to the psychology of the mind. I just can't understand it. I don't know why it isn't there. I mean, I know I'm an intelligent man, but that is not what makes me work as I do and see what I see in the book of Romans. The greater issue is not that I'm an intelligent man, but that I'm a broken sinner, for goodness sake. That I have been ruined, damaged severely by addiction, and that it is desperate for me to see truth and reality in the gospel and the answer, or the addressing of addiction at least, in these words. But I don't just interpret this out of a necessity of addiction. I interpret it based upon the words of Paul and his thought progress, the progression of his thought, and it is as clear as day, my friends, you can do it too. There is no division between theology and psychology, for when Jesus speaks, he speaks to the heart and to the mind, and it affects how we act. We are in the season of giving and gratitude and praise and celebration, my friend. As you know, I hope you had a beautiful Thanksgiving. And if you didn't, I hope there was still thanks in your heart for the goodness of God and for the gift that's coming up, or that we are about to celebrate the birth of Jesus. With that gratitude and thankfulness in your heart, I'm asking you, I'm appealing to you to consider your donating and your giving to Faith Quest Perspectives, this ministry that has been 34 years now on the go and the broadcast in its 15th year. Please help us, would you? The end of the year tax exemption donations often come in at this time. People think of what they can give and get a tax deduction from it. And if you don't want the tax deduction, that's fine, if you would rather give without that. So please consider, would you? And if you would like to make a very special bonus donation to the Ministry of Faith Quest, thank you very much. It is urgently needed, I will say, because we live on the line, hand to mouth, in this ministry. So send your donation, if you would, to Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. That's Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. You can take care of the donation, if you like, by PayPal by going to our website, faithquestradio.com. I'll send you my Cook's Monthly Message as a thank you, my friend, which is on the book of Colossians, just starting on that book. Thank you, then. And I'll see you next time. Cheerio and God bless.